Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 23 of Magic FM. I'm Gabby Sparks, one of your hosts today, and I'm joined by Mashi, as always, and special guest Kenji Numa Thanumi Egashira. Welcome, Kenji. Welcome, Mashi.
Hey, Gabby. Look, the term special guest gets bandied around way too much on this podcast.
But Kenji's an actual special guest, right?
I just feel like it's not saying enough, like super duper special, like Kenji's actually a special guest we have, like not just, oh, it's Luis again. So thank you for joining us, Kenji. You're like super duper exquisite special, more than just special.
That's a lot of specials. I'll take it though. I don't always feel special. So it's nice to be here.
You should.
You guys.
You should.
For those who maybe are not familiar with Kenji, first of all, I'm confused because I think you would be. But if you are not, he's one of the OG Magic streamers, like actual OG Magic streamer from like, what, 6 years ago, Kenji? 5 years ago now?
Excuse me? It's been like almost 9.
Oh my God. I didn't realize you've been streaming for so long. I thought it was like, I was going to say 7 and that felt like a lot to me.
and we had this discussion before, like, I don't know, in my mind, and maybe this is survivorship bias, I don't know. Kenji's not like one of the OG streamers. Like in my mind, when I think like original streamer, it ends up being Kenji. Correct me if I'm wrong, Kenji, but it's really kind of like it's in my brain that you are one of, if not just really the original Magic streamer.
No. There were a few people that started streaming Magic before I did. In fact, Michael Jacob, Darkest Mage, even started streaming before I did. Yeah. MJ was streaming before I was. There were a few others as well. I was like a step below OG, but definitely the longest I can say at this point. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah,
because I remember when I started watching Magic streams, I remember you and MJ were like the big streamers, and obviously like a lot of people have kind of come and gone, but you've been around to me since the original times.
So I think it's
going to feel the same. Yeah, exactly. It's different for you being on that side of it.
Right. It was just on the borderline of when it was Justin.tv. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
It was right after Justin TV moved over to Twitch TV. Not too long after that is when I started streaming. So it has definitely been a long time.
Yeah, that I think that qualifies you as OG.
I think so too. Easy OG for me, I think.
Fair enough.
So,
go ahead, Mash.
Welcome. We're glad you joined us. We're glad you're joining us. We should talk about Channel Fireball and CFP events. They're running Magic Fest online. Kenji, have you played any qualifiers?
I don't need to. I'm a rival, baby.
Wow,
Right. So did you get a chance to play in the weekly championship or no?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. I went like 2-4 drop or something. It's fine. There's always this week, you know. So
there's always another weekend.
Right.
I mean, I did coverage with Matt Sperling last night, and I think he went like 0-2 or 0-3 drop. So yep. you did better than him. So for whatever that's worth. But yeah. There's Magic Fest online going on right now. Obviously, events, physical gathering events have been canceled worldwide through the end of June. But you can play online from the safety and comfort of your own home. Magic Fest online. There's qualifiers 4 times a day. 4 times a day, 3 p.m., 9 p.m., 3 a.m., 9 a.m.
And 9 a.m. Except on 9 p.m. the Friday before the championship is the only one that has been changed.
Fridays at 9 p.m. are off, but check it out. It's $25 to enter. You get the qualifier. I think you got to go 5-1 to qualify for the weekly championship. The weekly championship, of course, unless you're a rival or a member of the MPL, then you're just auto-queued for the weekly championship.
For people like us, Mash, us plebes, we have to play the qualifier.
Us mere plebes have to do it. We have to pay the iron price, if you will. And you get a chance to play for $25,000 in cash prizes. And the top 8 get PTR invites. So it's also a pathway to the Players Tour. And then there's also a season final we're having with $50,000 in cash prizes. And I think that's the second weekend in April. And the way to qualify for that is make it to the weekly championship. And I think some huge number, like the top 32 or something like that, qualify for the Players Tour. So this is one of, if not the best ways to get to the Players Tour. Again, If you're already a rival, you don't have to worry about that. But yes, for the rest of us plebs who need to fight our way onto the Players Tour, this is a great opportunity to do that. So check it out. And it's a great way. We're doing there's a ton of initiatives to support content producers and influencers through 24/7 coverage on the Channel Fireball Twitch channel. And hit up your local store. We're doing this LGS program where if you sign up for a Magic Fest online and put your local store code, or buy a Magic Fest in a box and put your local store code, they will get 10% of the revenue. Passive income, free money for them. So get that code from your LGS, put it in, and make sure they get that 10%. So
yeah,
support everybody on this one.
Yeah, no, I just want to say these weeklies are so great. You know, it's nice to be able to play these type of tournaments just from the comfort of your own home. I know Magic Online, in addition to you guys on Arena, have been running huge events. And so like, even though, yes, I'm already qualified for the weekly championships or whatever, It's still tempting to join them just because that type of tournament structure is really appealing, especially when you can, you know, do it without having to go outside and put on pants or whatever.
Yeah, we were saying that last week, that one of the cool things about it is just, even if you're not playing in paper, is you are actually playing a first stakes tournament where, you know, everybody's kind of going to bring their A game. People are definitely trying to win. So you do get to play some pretty cool games against competitive players. And you know the people from like Rivals and the MPL are going to be in the weekend one. So you're definitely like facing some pretty good competition. Really, which is really sweet for a tournament series. Yeah.
It is. No. It's a lot of fun. The coverage, like just before we went on, Luis, you know, ended his stint. He was on with BDM, and there's just a lot of. I will say my favorite interaction I've seen. The favorite duo I've seen is, I don't know if you guys got a chance to see Huey and Sydney Tappy Toe Claws.
That sounds like such a good pairing.
It was so entertaining because you have Tappy, who's like just got so much energetic energy.
And like bubbly and full of
And she's going off, and she's like, loosely keeping track. She's got way more knowledge of Standard, for instance, than I do. And so she's watching the game, but then all of a sudden she's talking about botany. She's talking about science. She's talking about food science. Then you have like Huey, you know.
Huey's a straight lounge man. Yeah.
And just calmly, like totally laughing, having a great time. Every once in a while, like interjecting about the match. And it was pure entertainment. Like I messaged James, who's the main person running all the coverage. I was like, we've got to get these two back in together. They were so good together.
That's really sweet. No, I didn't get a chance to catch it. I would like to see that if they do it again.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, like I get bored. I'm just like, oh, I wonder what's going on the Channel Fire. At one point, I think it was Alias V and someone else were covering Gabriel Nassif's cooking stream.
It was Amy, Amazonian. Oh.
Amazonian, yeah. And they were covering Nassif cooking.
I enjoyed that cooking stream. It was really good.
Also awesome. So speaking of cooking, one of my favorite topics before we jump into the big ones is dinner. I keep asking like all my friends like what they're eating for dinner during this crisis. I've started taking photos of all my meals and putting them on Instagram.
I've been doing that.
During the shut-in. Yeah, it's been kind of fun. So Kenji, what's dinner been like? What's lunch and dinner been like at the Egashira household?
A lot worse now that we're in quarantine, actually. Like, we used to make meals all the time, and we find ourselves eating out more, trying to support like the local food places around our area. And it's still a little bit, you know, scary, but we're eating. For instance, we had burgers last night from a local joint, and normally we'd be, you know, making a bunch of pasta. And my wife, Emily, she can't eat the leftovers for like more than a day or two, but I can eat the same thing for like a week straight. So, you know, normally we make a huge thing of pasta, a huge thing of, you know, chicken or whatever, and I can just eat that going a week straight. But the last week or two, we've been eating out a lot more. So it's varied, but a lot of it is local cuisine, I'll say.
I think supporting your local restaurants is pretty cool. Like, we keep getting messages and emails from our local restaurants. And one of the things that we keep wondering is like, well, I wonder if that restaurant's even going to be in business, like by the time we're going to go out and eat again. Like, a bunch of restaurants we think are going to shut down. Right. So it's a bummer.
It's going to be tough. We're doing something similar. Elaine and I, and then we're also just doing like, there's this fear of like a lot of Asian businesses going under, so we're trying to like order from local Asian places. Of course, Elaine's Vietnamese. We love Vietnamese food, and San Jose has tons of local Vietnamese places. So we've been eating, you know, more. We're trying to order less, but we're doing like, you know, once or twice a week we order Vietnamese food from local places and get it delivered. And it's been, but we, I've been cooking a lot more because it's been, it's kind of, I think it's been a big stress release for me. Like, to, I love cooking.
Yeah, no, that's a cool way to channel that, like, cooped upness, I guess.
And what about you, Gabby? What are you doing for dinner tonight?
Oh my gosh, Maj is going to make fun of me again. No, I'm not going to get into it. I will say this. I am planning on doing my own sourdough bread. So I'm going to do a sourdough starter starting as soon as I get flour, which I don't have. I just ordered it today. But I'm not going to talk about my dinner because I know as much as...
I will say this. I don't want to reveal what Gabby's having for dinner if she wants to keep it private. But her reasoning, and I realized this after we discussed this, I got up and got some water before we started recording. She's like, oh, well, I'm busy, you know, streaming and then recording this podcast. That's why I'm ordering it out when we record the podcast. And then I realized social media has told me Luis does all the cooking in the house. So that excuse did not work for me. All of a sudden, Gabby being too busy to cook, but we all know Luis is doing all the cooking, started to fall apart. Like, yeah, thank you, Kenji. I was like, wait a second.
Much like your cantrips argument, this is falling apart like Swiss cheese. That's what's happening here. I'm having calzones for dinner. We're ordering deep dough. That's what we're having. But Masha just makes fun of me because we order calzones a lot. And
I want to amend that. You're having calzones again for dinner.
We haven't ordered it in like a month, dude. That's a long time.
Calzones
we really
are
don't
delicious,
eat
though.
Out. Like I mean, not eat out. We really don't even do delivery that much anymore. Like we've all been just cooking at home, but today I wanted to do something easier. Support our local DP Dough eatery. So,
and you know, calzones, a fried calzone. You know what another term for a fried calzone is? Deep fried, a fried calzone.
No idea.
Panza.
Oh, that's
Panza
right.
Panza Red is a fried calzone. So there you go. We're paying homage to one of Magic's greatest.
Exactly. I just Magic's really care about land destruction. That's why I'm eating calzones today.
I think we can all get behind that. As we'll talk about later, Red rocks Kenji. So, you know, you can't have real LD without red. There's green and there's black, but the real true LD is red.
Well, in good Magic of Fun fashion, we are like so far away from where we started.
So far
but,
from. Okay.
How about this? So for this week's episode, especially when we have a special guest, a super special guest like Kenji, we do want to spend a lot of time just kind of asking him questions, and we will be spending most of our time there. But there was a big announcement at the beginning of the week. Mashi, do you want to give us the lowdown of what happened? I think it was just announced yesterday, right?
Right. We can throw a link in the show notes. But there was
live announcement. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a live announcement. This was a Wizards announcement. There was a Wizards esports update. You know, sad, but not entirely surprising. The Players 2 Series 2 is canceled. As you remember, they canceled Series 1 and they pushed everything to kind of June. Like, you know, all of the Series 1 events were pushed. And now those are canceled because all the Magic Fest, this wasn't in the esports announcement, but all the Magic Fest later CFP events announced through the end of June have been canceled. So the next one tentatively, and I think everything, that doesn't mean like spoiling anything. I think just like everything right now is just tentative. You know? That's not inside information. Just for the world, like football. I'm in my fantasy football league. We're all just thinking the football season is tentative at this point.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So everything's canceled through June, which means the next Magic Fest potentially would be Minneapolis in July. The 2020 partial season, because there was a partial season to get us into a full rotation, is now canceled. All of the current MPL and Rivals members, including Kenji here, are rolled over into the next season. The way that they were going to grow the Rivals is the top seven, there were seven spots available. And so the top seven tabletop finishers were going to join Rivals. It's turned into the top eight now because they're just elevating everyone who's currently top seven in the tabletop standings. But there was apparently a tie for seventh place. So our new Rivals are going to be Corey Burkhart, Kenta Harane, Shintaro Ishimura, Zachary Kine, Yoel Larson, Yuta Takahashi, Brent Voss, and Jacob Wilson. So those are our new Rivals. And then the other thing, and I think this is also a nod to the fact that things are so tentative, and even when life goes back to normal for being able to maybe do events in North America, we don't know what border crossings are going to be like, how accessible Europe's going to be for Americans, how accessible America is going to be for Europeans and people from the Asian Pacific regions. And I think this is a nod to that, although they didn't say that explicitly necessarily, the Mythic and Players points have been removed from events, I think for the foreseeable future. So for instance, Minneapolis is still on the books. If I recall correctly, that was supposed to be a Players Tour final.
It was.
Yeah, where you'd accrue, you know, points towards getting into the MPL and stuff, and that's turned off. And I think rightfully so, because we don't know what people's, what players' attendance ability is going to be like for those events. I think this is tough. I actually agree with the moves Wizards made here. There's other things they could have done, rolled over. We talked about this, rolled over some of it and just had the current standings count for the next season. But I think this is a clean answer. It's a tough situation and Wizards had to make a call. And I actually think they made the right calls here. I like the decision-making that went into this.
Yeah. How does this affect you, Kenji? Is this just basically like you roll over to whenever you get to play again?
Yeah, I don't think I was doing particularly well. I had done okay in the first tabletop competition, but like in the Mythic Point challenges and stuff, the arena online events, I hadn't really accrued many points. So I think for me specifically, yeah, like you said, it's just going to be a rollover and we'll have to see when and if the next season is going to progress. It's really strange, but I mean, it completely makes sense given the current landscape of things. Like, I don't know if there was a better option. Of course, some of the people like Matt Nass specifically, he was doing super well in a lot of these online events. Mm-hmm. And obviously for him, it's kind of a blow, but I mean, they might have something in the future to help alleviate that as well. But I think what they've done is probably the best of a bad situation.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it was interesting because I was talking to, you know, Matt, you mentioned Matt Nass. Matt Nass is definitely one of the people who was most affected because he was having, like, I think he was first, I think, in standings. He was doing really well. And then BK, who also lives at Casa Nasty. we just call it Casa Nasty. I mean, it's his house, even though there's, like, a bunch of people who live there. They're like five people all quarantined there right now.
That's what we have here, by the way. There's five of us here.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. There's five people at Casa Nasty. I think they just have, I think Josh McClain was just kind of visiting them. But then all of this hit and he wasn't ever able to go back. So he's just been quarantined with them for like a long time now.
And is Carolyn there too?
Yeah. Caroline's there. Sam lives there. BK lives there. And Matt Nass lives there. So they have five people. Yeah, exactly. Right. But yeah, this also affected BK as well, where I know the question that they were asking is, why don't you just take the same season and just put those points over in the next season? I don't know. We don't know that they're going to do that. Like, we don't know that they're not going to do that. The announcement doesn't really say what's going to happen with the current points in this season. I mean, my guess is it's nothing's going to happen. My guess is that they just don't do anything.
And I think there's value to a clean break. That's my take on it.
I agree. I agree,
there's going to be winners and losers, you know, no matter what decision we make in these things. But I think having a clean break gives some finality and just, I love Matt. Like, I want to see him succeed, you know. But getting that clean break and then kind of move forward with where we're at, I think is probably the stability that's needed here. I don't know. Yeah. Where's your head at? Kenji's kind of, obviously you benefit from this, but let's just set that aside for a second. You know,
well, the season itself was already kind of strange, right? It was a partial season as opposed to a full one. So it's like, it almost makes sense like to go to what you said, a clean slate. And even though this is awkward for some people, I think the greater good.
Yeah, I think this decision was right. I know it stinks if you're on the wrong side of it, but it feels like a clean break. And the fact that this was a partial season was already kind of weird. So may as well. And it's just so uncertain, right? Like, what if you say like, yeah, we'll roll over the points from this season to next season. And we just don't really know what next season's going to look like or when it's going to happen. We just don't know.
Yeah.
Everything's up in the air right now. So it does seem like the right move in the situation, even if it has some like unfortunate repercussions.
Well, that's our esports announcement.
Yeah, not entirely unexpected, but
yeah, you know, it's which is kind of sad, right? Like, I think to some degree we're all kind of looking for something in this fashion. So
yeah,
but now we can move past that and just devote the rest of this time to Kenji.
Yeah, we have some really cool questions for Kenji. We asked Twitter to weigh in. And also, by the way, if you are listening to the podcast, if you ever want to weigh in on our guests' questions, you can usually find them on Magic FM Podcast, usually tweets the thread, or like Mashi or I will do that. So this time, these are some of the questions we got for Kenji. Wang That Got Away asked, what changed or do you anticipate will change with you being in Rivals?
I just think it's more pressure. You know, I told myself originally that I was going to like practice harder, buckle down, you know, find myself a testing team and all, and do all that stuff. But I find myself, under more pressure, but not doing any of those things that I was that I said I was going to do. Like, I mean, I already play a lot of Magic as it is, but the thing is, there's only so much you can do while streaming to help you test. And I think that's my biggest downfall right now, is just that I haven't reached out to, you know, other people and be like, hey, do you want to work on this and do this? You know, the metagames change constantly. There's, especially in these type of events, where they're smaller, there's, you know, you're going to have specific deck choices that are better, deck choices that are worse. And sometimes I just go in playing the, you know, the deck that I know the best, because that's what my practice has led me down to. So I want to say that being a rival has made me think about playing differently, testing differently, but in reality it hasn't, and that's on me, you know. Yeah. I should focus more if I wanted want to do well.
I totally hear that. All right, Janus Kane asks, and this is cool because we know Modern Cube is coming to Magic Online in a week or so. What is your favorite archetype in Modern Cube?
Favorite archetype in Modern Cube. I think my favorite archetype in general is just either green things that ramp out fast or blue control decks. It doesn't necessarily have to be specific to any one cube. If I'm playing like a turn one Llanowar Elf and then a turn two ramp spell and then a turn three Fatty, I'm having a good time.
Yeah.
Or if I'm going turn one Island Pass, turn two Ponder Pass, turn three counter spell, then I'm having a good time. Yeah, you know, it. I don't have to have a specific archetype, but if I'm doing those core strategies, then that's good by me.
I feel like you're on either side here. Like you are. These are like polar opposites. Like the green ramp strategy versus like blue control. Feel like you're on diametrically opposed parts of the cube here.
Those are just my favorite things.
I can totally relate to that though. Like I feel like those are also my favorite archetypes are blue X, and then I also love like the ramp decks. I think those are really fun to play too.
Wow, so, I love the ramp. I love ramp, but blue X, I'm out.
Mush is like, blue X, get me out of here, dance game.
My favorite strategy is anything, like I love graveyard recursion for 187 creatures. Like that kind of like Rexxur type strategy. Like I love Recurring Nightmare and Corpse Dance and stuff like that. So that's probably my number one. But yeah, blue X.
No, thank you.
No.
I don't know if they're going to make any changes. I know Modern Cube is up either next week or the week after on Magic Online, so I'll be jamming them, but I'm not sure if they're gonna make any drastic changes.
They probably will, because what they do is they'll put it up and then they'll take it down, and then whenever it comes back up they do updates. The reason the Vintage Cube right now didn't have any updates, because it was Surprise Vintage Cube,
right?
Because of course it was Quarantine Cube. So my guess is the Modern Cube is gonna have updates, and that should be coming out next Wednesday. It's like 1 week of Modern Horizons 1, and then another week, I think, of Modern Cube.
So can I tell you guys, I have not booted up Modo in 2 or 3 years.
Really?
And like, I know the interface has changed, and I want a cube, but I'm like scared that I'm not going to know how to do anything anymore.
Oh, no. It's all the same. It's all the same. There's nothing drastic. Oh, wait. The latest update has
music.
Terrible sounds.
I was going to say that. I was just I was like, Mosh, if you don't know this, the intro screen for Modo now has like this cool music, but it honestly sounds like Chandelar. Like it sounds like Chandelar sounds. I don't know why they decided this was like the update to do, but you have to go into your settings to actually turn it off. And the first time I turned it on, I had my volume set to max. So I just turned on Modo and it was like,
oh my gosh. I've had Modo on mute. I haven't played it with sounds probably since I first installed it.
Be prepared for when you log on and you have to hear the intro music for Magic Online, because you have to get in there and disable it first.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, we'll see.
I think the basic keys are different too. Like I'm used to using the F buttons to pass priority and stuff. They changed them to like, I guess, the numbers, right? What?
So it's not like F2, F6 anymore?
Yeah, it's like 1,
it's just like 1, 2, 6. Yeah. So
that,
just
that,
like
keys died.
I always change my keys back to the F1s whenever they have a new update, because that's what I'm used to. But just,
I did the same thing.
That's a pro tip, because I'm the idiot who'd sit there and go, no, F6. Wait, what's going on? Why isn't this working? So thank you, Kenji. That's actually really
good. Now you're ready, Mush.
I'm armed.
Aberdasher asks, what is your favorite part of competitive MTG, and what is your most satisfying moment?
Ooh. Favorite part of competitive MTG. I guess, is just, well, and this kind of ties in, just learning how bad I actually am, you know, like getting better. That's one of the best ways to improve your game is competitive MTG, is playing against players that are better than yourself, because there's not too much room for growth or improvement if you're just constantly, well, either one, you're not playing versus people better than you, but then you also don't expand who you're playing against, right? So I think competitive MTG has given me that, has kept the fire lit, I guess I'll say.
That's sweet.
In that, yeah, there's always room for improvement. I know I can be better. I know there's things I can learn from other people. And then, sorry, what was the second part of that
most
question?
Most satisfying moment.
Most satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would have to be when I won the Mox Open like a few years ago. It was like December 30th or something. It was the last Magic Online Championship Open of that particular season. And if you're not aware, these events where if you spike them, only first place gets it. If you spike them, you queue for the Pro Tour, or what at the time was the Pro Tour, as well as making it to the Magic Online Championships, which is their Magic Online Pro Tour in Seattle. And I won that event a few years ago. And I just remember, like, I sat there for a minute or two, and then I just broke down crying.
Aww.
You know, because because like that is the pinnacle of
Magic Online.
Online.
Totally. Yes, it's, it is totally.
Yeah,
and I've been playing Magic Online since like 2007 or whatever, and to finally, you know, because I've played countless Mox events,
right?
And so to finally break through was just such a happy moment.
I remember this, Kenji, because I actually remember this. I was out doing something. And some people from my stream, they were talking in Discord. They were like, oh my gosh, Kenji's in the top eight. And they were like giving the play-by-play as it was. Because you were streaming it, were you?
No, I wasn't streaming it.
You either were tweeting it or something like that. Because I remember people being so excited about it. And I remember it being a sweat. And then eventually you won. And it was like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. Like, it couldn't happen to a better person. I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, no, I was live tweeting everything. You know,
my heart was pounding.
I remember, like, following
the updates, because it was like, oh my gosh, semifinals. Oh my gosh, quarterfinals. Finals.
Yeah.
So cool.
But that cued me for my first Pro Tour, which was Dominaria as well. So it was like a double dose of extra.
First year, like, well, I won this tournament. Wait a second. I also got this thing I really wanted, too. That's so cool.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right. Squirrel_loot asks, what are some of your favorite memories from the quote early days of MTG streaming? How has the streaming landscape changed for the better, the worse? And I actually like this question, because we've got you, we've got OG Kenji, and we've got Gabby, who I think is kind of like part of the new brood.
Sure, sure. I think she's the new old brood.
Yes,
though.
I'm the
she's
new
been...
old brood. I
guess
am not,
that's true. You're
not
mid
part
brood.
Of...
Yeah, you're mid brood. You know,
I would
I guess
say
that's
mid.
True.
Yeah, I think there's like somehow the OGs before Kenji, which is like OG.
You're right, exactly.
Yeah, and then I started streaming like maybe like a year or two after. When did I start streaming? 20?
You've been streaming for 7 years?
No. I've been streaming for 5 years. Never mind. So okay. Yeah, we're
4 years apart.
Yeah, something like that.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, like before Kenji, it's like the time of the old gods. You know what I mean? Like, we don't really talk about
that. We only worship the old gods back then.
Yeah.
So my favorite parts about the old streaming days, I guess, just how lax it was. I didn't feel obligated to do anything. It was just me streaming to have a good time. You know, this was even before I was partnered with Twitch or anything. I was streaming because I wanted to have some interaction. I wanted to have a good time. I thought I could, you know, teach some people something about Magic, or at the very least entertain them. And I still think that has carried over to this day, of course, but it just felt like a lot less pressure. If that makes sense. Now it's, I'm not going to say rigid, but it's structured. That it's been a job now. It's been my full-time job now for closing on 8 years.
Damn.
So
that's long.
Yeah. In the old Wild West days, it just felt like I was sitting back with my friends, having a good time, doing whatever. And it's not like that. It doesn't feel like that anymore. It's just it feels like I have to have my A game all the time. You know, I have to be presentable. I have to put on a show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whereas I didn't necessarily feel like that so much to begin with. And your part two question, what was the
how has the streaming landscape changed for the better or the worse? You know, any changes?
Sure. For the better, it's just the number of people streaming Magic is so immense. Like back when I started, you might have 3, maybe 4 people streaming Magic tops. And if you didn't like any of them, well, too bad. Go watch another game or suck it up with whoever you like. Now there are literally, maybe not hundreds, but dozens of Magic stream. I mean, if I just go to Twitch right now and boot up Magic online, I'm sure you could get at least 50 channels of people to choose from. Now, obviously, they all vary in skill level, in quality, and whatever. But that does actually, no, there are probably hundreds.
Are there actual hundreds?
There are.
I think, I mean, I can answer to this too a little bit, being part of the, I guess, new old streamer, as we've identified. I remember when I first started streaming, you would look at the Magic directory and you would get like 3 rows of people and there were like 5 streams per row or something. So even if you were like a brand new streamer, you would be within the top 3 rows of people that were streaming because that's just how few people were doing it at the time. But now between Twitch Prime, which I think actually has helped a lot of streamers because it's made it a lot more feasible of a career for people to follow, as well as stuff like Streamlabs makes it streaming a lot more accessible. Like it used to be a sort of thing where you actually needed to do a lot of research to figure out how to set up a stream. And nowadays it's really easy to set it up. So even if you want to just do it to like kick it with your friends for a little bit and just give it a try, get your feet wet or whatever, you can do that without having to spend a ton of money in equipment, in learning how to do it, in setup, in even like a streaming rig, because Streamlabs makes it a lot easier nowadays. So I think that's something that's actually brought a lot of people to Magic streaming, which I think is sweet because having more streamers is just more fun, more entertainment.
Exactly. Yeah, and I just did a quick count. It's well over 100 people
streaming
Magic. Yeah,
that's so cool.
Right now.
Wow.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's also maybe I don't want to say a downside, but that's also something that makes it harder to get noticed if you want to become a Magic streamer, right? You might feel that pressure that, well, there's already so many people streaming. How am I going to get discovered? And, you know, the reason I started streaming was because I loved it, was because I wanted to have a good time, not because I thought it would turn into anything special. So
I'm going to ask my own follow-up here. Like, how do you feel like looking at it? Looking at it now, like whether you want to argue about whether you're OG or not, there is an immeasurable number of people who have started streaming and left streaming, and people who are probably part of that 100 right now streaming that saw you, that were inspired by you, that were watching your stream and wanted to take it up and do it or do that kind of thing. I mean, like, that's a pretty huge effect, whether you want to acknowledge or not, that I think you've had on this landscape. How do you feel about that?
If I can inspire somebody to do anything, then I'll consider that a success. So I guess feel good.
Good. I think you should seriously, you know, like I said, when we started, like when I think of Magic streaming, like the original Magic streamers, like your name is the one that pops into my head and I can't feel like I'm too alone on that. And so when you see this phenomenal growth, even from your time, Gabby, I mean, the number of people I'm sure you've inspired, you know, particularly female streamers to go out there and stream. Like when you talk about what it was like when you entered the landscape and then we look now and there's, you know, 100+ gamers doing this. I mean, that's pretty awesome.
No, for sure. I do understand what Kenji's saying with like the fact that there's a lot of people streaming now also can be a tough thing. I remember we were tagged in the same conversation, Kenji. Somebody asked us both. Mm-hmm. Do you remember? It was like a couple days ago.
I do.
Mm-hmm. It was like, hey, Magic streamers, what advice do you have for like, I think it was like to like have a successful stream or something. And I think basically everyone who was tagged in that thread, everyone was like, I think we all here got kind of lucky. So there's definitely that element of it, you know, even if it was when Kenji started or when I started or some of the newer streamers who are successful now. But I do think what Kenji's saying also here is true. Like he started streaming not because he wanted to make it into this thing, which I think some people go into streaming with that expectation. And I think that's how you set yourself up for failure because you're not like, you shouldn't go into it because you want to make cash money. It's like you should do it because it's fun, because you want to hang out with your friends, because you like the community interaction, or you really like the format that you're playing. And I think some other things fall in place once that's set first.
Yep, Gabby hit the nail on the head with that one.
Yeah,
I used to be really big into comic books. I grew up collecting comic books, and there's a place called Brian's Books here locally. It's not there anymore. It's a Hanmi Bank now, but I got really, really into. I was young. I was in seventh grade, and I got this piece of advice about collecting comic books, which I think it turns out was something very, very important that young Mashi took into my life now, just a piece of advice about life. It was a guy, Jeff, who worked there. And I was buying all the X-Men and Spider-Man stuff. This is in the mid-90s when, you know, just before Image came out and comic books were exploding in their own way. And I was like, I wanted to buy I was saving my allowance money and my father was, you know, also supporting this. And I wanted to buy like every comic book out there. Right. You know? And I was talking to this guy, Jeff, who worked there, about what I should do. And he said, Mashi, the best advice I can give you for comic book collecting or any collectible, and like I said, I think this applies a lot to life, is collect what you want. Collect the books you like. Maybe they go up in money, maybe they don't. Because at the time I was like, I'm going to make a ton of money collecting comic books, right? It's like, maybe they go up in money, maybe they don't. But if you enjoy the books you're collecting and you're buying, whether they go up in money or not, you'll always have these comic books that you enjoy having, that are treasured by you because you enjoyed the stories, you enjoyed the art, you enjoyed what was there. And it's like, when you talk about entering streaming because you enjoy it, because it's something that's fun for you, if it takes off, great, you've done something wonderful. But as long as it's creating a space for you to enjoy something, yeah, do it, why not, right? Make that your main goal, and then, you know, if it really stops being that, then it's time to stop. But at least you have those memories of engaging in something you really enjoyed. And that's been something like I ask myself all the time when I'm in situations like, is this something I really like? We all make investments in different things in our lives, but as long as we're enjoying the ride we're on, even if that investment doesn't pay off, you're kind of like, well, I had fun doing it, or, yeah, you know, it was worth it. It was worth the experience, you know? So I totally buy into that. But from that to an even more serious question, I really want to know the answer to this. At Nacho Herp asks, how many nuggets are too many nuggets?
For me, I guess it's 34 or 35. I don't remember the exact details. There's something on my stream called like the nugget challenge, you know, and I've done this on stream a few times where I just try to eat as many chicken nuggets as I can. And I think it was the first time I ate like 33 before calling it quits. And then the next time I ate 34.
Before calling it quits. Wow. Improved your record.
Well, you at that point, you have to, right? You got to beat the old record.
The thing was, is I believe I called it like the 40 nugget challenge. Like, oh, I'm just going to pound 40 easy, no problem. And anyways, that's so now my stream has a lot of chicken nugget memes on it.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. We didn't get this question just once. We got it multiple times. So thank you to everybody who asked how many nuggets is too many nuggets. We did have like three people who did that. I watched the original nugget challenge. I found it quite entertaining.
Dude,
yeah, how many nuggets? Sorry, how many nuggets for you are too many nuggets?
Like 10 maybe? I don't know. I certainly cannot get into double digits, I don't think.
I mean, first of all, you said 10, which is double digits. And you're over there pounding calzones left and right. Nine? How many nugget? What's the calzone nugget equivalent?
Yeah, no, it's got to be. It's got to be at least 10.
Yeah. When I get McNuggets from McDonald's, I get like the 6-piece thing with like fries, and I'm stuffed. So I don't think it's gonna be like a lot more nuggets than 6, right?
It's confession time. All right, this stays in the podcast and on the YouTube channel, and that's it. I want to see more about this. I was a big boy in middle school and high school, like real big, not quite
like
as tall as I am now.
Like 40 chicken nuggets, kind of.
They used to have this deal.
Oh my
god! All right, we had this thing called a Charger card, because I went to Wilcox High School, home of the Chargers, and local businesses would, you know, like give you discounts, and you'd pay like $30 for this Charger card, and you could show the Charger card and use it once a day at different places. Well, the McDonald's over here on Homestead had a deal where you could double up any value meal. Like if I got a Big Mac value meal, I could use my Charger card and get a second Big Mac for free.
Whoa.
Any value meal. And they used to do a 20 nugget value meal. So I know for a fact, back in the day, I could pound 40 nuggets, extra large fries, and a Coke. And I did it on multiple occasions. Now,
what kind of sauce? What kind of sauce, though, with the nuggets?
I like to do. I like to get sweet and sour and honey mustard and do a little double dip. You know,
like
mixed. So I, Yeah, just dip. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's so good. But so I've done 40 nuggets like a lot, like way more than a dozen times, because I did that a lot. So I don't know if I can do it now. Like, I'm talking like this is like late 90s. Okay. Oh, but still.
I think you need a little bit of practice to get to those numbers. I don't know if you could just like immediately go back to it.
Yeah, I'm out of, which is why like I so desperately wanted to know the answer to this question. I was like, wait, how many nuggets is too many nuggets?
So. That's too funny.
Dude, you hit like a sodium overload at like 25 or 30 or so, or at least I have, and then I'm just
gosh, you just like feel them right here.
Yeah.
I feel like that doesn't exist when you're like 16 or 17, right? You're just pounding, like, you know, so it's like, I don't want to take these home. I'm going to eat them now.
That is too good. Wait, Kenji, are you planning on doing another nugget challenge anytime?
It's one of my, what are they called? The channel points. It's one of my channel points.
Oh my God. How many points is it to redeem this?
It's like a million. So,
okay. But you realize that now there's going to be like multiple people who are going to be accruing points.
I know.
And then you're
going to
get them all at once, right?
Well, so I've changed the goalposts on some of these redemptions before.
Oh, to like make them go farther.
Yeah, yeah. I think the top channel points are around like 300,000 right now. So once they start getting a little bit closer, maybe I'll just
shove them a little bit further.
So how do you accrue channel points? Do you buy them, or is it just number of minutes watched?
You just
watched
get them for watching the stream. So like, for example, I have channel points that you redeem to feed Julie. Like, you can buy her treats, or you can buy her like a Greenies, or you can buy her like a little puzzle box, like a little puzzle toy that she like, it's just like a dog puzzle toy basically, where she digs for food in it and she finds it fun. So basically, and you get them for watching the stream. If you're subscribed, you get them at a faster rate. If you join in on raids, if you like, basically it's all the ways that you interact with the stream give you these channel points. You can't buy them, so like no one's out there trying to like, okay, I'm just gonna spend like however many hundreds of dollars to get Kenji to do this. But enough people are going to be watching Kenji stream for enough time that at some point people are going to get close, you know?
It's going to get there.
Yeah.
How much is it to buy Julie a treat?
I think it's like 15,000 for a Julie treat, and the puzzle box is like 100,000.
And how much is it for a Luis treat?
People ask me that all the time, Mashi. I am not even kidding. People ask me that all the time. No, it's a cool feature that Twitch has out there. I think it's pretty cool. You know what you can do, Kenji? Here's a pro tip. You can add an option for channel point redemptions that's just called incinerate points, and it doesn't do anything else. It just incinerates
people.
Yeah,
spend
but
them.
people want to use the incinerate points to make a statement. Yeah. So that's how you get some points. Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Throw it in there. Yeah. Get those things
incinerate
done.
Incinerate those points. All right. Mr. Burnsy12 asks, in the most recent Return of Cube, it came without any changes. We mentioned that earlier today. When there are new were there any new discoveries made, archetypes found, strategies enjoyed, and what cards, archetypes would you add to the next iteration of Vintage Cube?
I don't think there were any new outstanding archetypes or anything like that. I think they're all pretty well solidified. I mean, obviously when like War of the Spark came out, it just added a bunch of new powerful planeswalkers and stuff like that. But this one didn't have Theros Beyond Death, so it was still, I guess, Throne of Eldraine, the most recent set they added. And obviously, unsurprisingly, Oko is busted. even in Vintage Cube, that card is very, very good. But I don't think there were any like standout breakout cards or anything, especially since this is a cube that we had already had access to. So.
For like an entire month last time,
Yeah, during the holidays, I don't think there's anything new or breakout. As far as cards that I think, or was it archetypes or cards that I think should be added?
Either.
Yeah. I mean, there are some decent cards in
TBD.
Theros Beyond Death. Yeah, some of the sagas are pretty cool, like Elspeth Conquers Death, for example. Could see that type of card.
That
in
is
there.
A really cool. Yeah, that would be sweet. Yeah. That would be very cool in Vintage Cube, I think.
Mm-hmm. I can't think of... I mean, I think there are a lot more in cards that you could take out as opposed to cards to add. They're like Wilderness Reclamation. I have never seen anybody use Wilderness Reclamation in Vintage Cube, for example. even though it seems like it could be okay, that's just a card that literally I've never seen anybody play it. There are a few other cards as well. They're escaping my memory for now, but Wilderness Reclamation could definitely be taken out.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about this on stream the other day, because I think someone mentioned that against you, somebody cast a card that, like, you never see in cube. I think it might have been Wilderness Wreck or something. And then one of the other cards we were mentioning is, like, Ink Eyes.
Ink Eyes.
Why is that in the cube? Literally, it's never seen it in play. Like, it just never happened. So there's definitely some cards that are just like, this one's a little suspect.
We got it. Someone at Cheon on this. Does he have? Is he still the?
I think he's
keeper of all things.
Does he
cube?
Not curate the cube anymore?
I don't. I thought he was like the.
He did move to be like the. He's like the esports.
The esports manager.
The esports boss.
But I think I think cube might still be a passion project.
Maybe he still gets the final word.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
So, all right, Koyen at Koyen asks, "What are your favorite games outside of Magic?"
Currently, I don't want to say it's World of Warcraft.
Did you get back into it? You got suckered back into it.
Oh my god!
Well, it's because my brother plays, and so I wanted to be able to hang out with him. And sure. So, like, I think it's probably been a month.
Look at the guilt. If you're not watching this on video, you're listening to our podcast. Thank you for downloading the podcast. But you got to check this out on YouTube. Like, look, Ken just like got his head in his hands. Like, it's World of Warcraft.
It's like, it's WoW sinks into chair.
It's not even just World of Warcraft. It's the classic one. So it's
the OG WoW. The OG. Love it.
Yeah. Wow. So it takes a lot longer to do anything, even like. Yeah. I've been playing for over a month now, and I haven't even hit 60, which is the level cap in WoW Classic. So World of Warcraft is currently one of the games that I devote a lot of time to when I am not playing Magic.
Did you get into Battlegrounds at all? Into Hearthstone
Battlegrounds? Oh, yeah, yeah.
TFT thing? Yeah.
Yep, TFT. Man, I was huge into TFT when Season 1 came out as well. So I played a lot of the Battlegrounds games. I still do occasionally, and that's across, you know, all of the different games. It doesn't have to just be Hearthstone or League of Legends, which is TFT. There are quite a few Battlegrounds out there now.
Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed watching you play PUBG back when you were like super duper into it. Yeah, I thought that was awesome.
That's the original Fortnite, for those who don't know.
Yeah, OG Fortnite, yeah.
I grew up on first-person games like Counter-Strike, like original Counter-Strike and whatnot. So those always have a big base in my heart. So PUBG was a big one. I haven't played it much anymore. I mean, let's be honest, it's Magic and World of Warcraft now because of World of Warcraft. But when I delve outside of other games, it's like first person shooters, it's the battleground type games. And then every once in a while, I get the urge to play like Diablo 2 because I played a bunch of that when I was growing up as well. So
everyone who's played Diablo gets that urge every once in a while. So you know, I believe this is a common experience.
Yep.
I love Diablo. It's like one of the few games I have on the Switch is Diablo 3. 2 is not available. So, yeah. I will say this, just so you don't feel alone. I've heard a rumor that Huey will be streaming some WoW.
I'm not lying. I was also talking to Huey about WoW. So we're all doing this separately, by the way. Because... Yep. I've been really into Animal Crossing because Animal Crossing recently came out and that's been like my current obsession. But I am like a total sucker for games like WoW. And I was going to message Huey because I know he was super into it. And I was like, hey, I was thinking about getting into WoW. I wonder if it's too late to get into it. Like I had that because I think this is a common thing I've heard that for people say that about Magic too. It's like, hey, I've been interested in getting in Magic. Is it too late to get into it? And the answer is no. They're like, there's new sets that come out. There's rotation. There's clearly times that they make it very welcoming for people to join. Core sets are meant to kind of like bring newer players in. But I had that experience with WoW too, where I was like, I don't know, WoW's been around for so long. Like, am I going to be like too noob when I start playing? And he was like, no, you should do it. We should start a clan. So I was like, yes, I want to do this. I really want to.
For the MPL and Rivals Discord, we have like an offshoot channel, you know, where we can shoot the crap. Tons of people have been talking about, or they had been talking about, hey, does anybody play WoW? Do you guys want to start playing WoW?
I love that. That's so good.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So, okay. Wang that got away ties into the Nuggets a little bit, but what is the favorite inside joke of your stream?
Favorite inside joke?
I know there's a ton, so you can name a few if you want.
Yeah.
What's my favorite one though? I think it's at this point it's either like how many months are in a year or what my age is. What my age is used to be a huge one, you know, like that. I think like the first 5 years I was streaming, I would always tell people, oh yeah, I'm 55. And I carried that whole shtick, you know, all the way up to, oh, now I'm turning 60. And I, you know, cause, and people are like,
cause you had
no way
to age on stream.
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah, so yeah. I held that position for a long time, and people were like, hey, is he really 60? Oh my God.
The joke's gone on long enough. Like, he's not joking, is he?
He keeps saying this. I can't. Yeah. Is he telling the truth there? And then the months, how many months in a year one is when somebody resubscribes or something, say it's 24 months. I'm like, oh, 24 months. Thank you so much. That's so close to 2 years. You know, like I will always calculate the number of months off in the number of years that they've actually, and then people are like, dude, that's 2 years, don't you know?
You're, or, like,
you
you're know, so bad at math, Kenji.
God,
what the hell?
Dude, he doesn't even know how many months are in a year.
No,
what?
And it totally debates like the majority of chat who has like newer people, because I do it constantly. Oh, 36 months. Wow, so close to 2 years. Oh, 27 months, just over 3 years. Well done, you know, stuff like
those,
that.
Those jokes are the best because in my experience, I'm like, Luis is big on this too. He does this all the time. He will often say things that are just meant to be bait, which is kind of what this is, right? Saying, oh, that's so close to 2 years. You're like, no, it is 2 years, but I want to be right. And so, like, people start typing furiously, right? And it's so funny when the people who are acquainted with a joke and they know what's going on, they're like, oh my gosh, we got a new one. Like, they haven't seen this before. And it's just kind of like a rite of passage in some ways, like learning about those jokes. I think that's pretty cool.
Oh, actually, you know what? You know what my favorite is? Sorry, I cut you off here. But
no, go.
The favorite, it actually ties into Red Rocks Me. So, Red Rocks Me is when I basically force Mono Red in a draft. Anyways, where it came from was I was forcing Mono Red in Vintage Cube, and I was winning a lot. Like, I forced it 10 times and I won 9 drafts out of 10 times just forcing Mono Red. And so I went to YouTube to find like a song about Red, and I found a children's song called The Red Song. And I just started playing it. And if you guys have never heard it before, you'll have to look up The Red Song by Pancake Manor.
I'll add it in the show notes.
Okay, perfect.
Pancake Manor, obviously, classic.
And so anytime I would play or force Mono Red, I would play this song and people in chat would know, and they would spam, you know, like red emotes like Blood Trail and whatnot. And what happened is, as a result of this, before they banned comments on children's videos on YouTube, which was a recent thing, all of the top comments were of that YouTube video were like, when you're feeling like drafting Storm but end up in Mono Red. And so this children's video where, you know, all of the oldest comments are like, oh, hey, my kid loves this. All the comments are something or were something related to Magic. And it was just great.
That's so good.
That's awesome. That's so sweet.
That's so sick. I love it.
And then there were comments from like 3 years ago when I first did that originally, and you know, and they just piled up every, and you can, the top comments have a ton of, you know, likes or whatever, and all of the top comments were about Magic. I'm like, sweet. When are you guys gonna do one about artifacts? You
oh
know,
my god,
it's on a kid's video.
That's really good.
Yeah, it was so awesome.
That is such gas. Yeah,
that's too bad that the comments aren't there anymore. Yeah, they changed that with the like with a children's YouTube ad stuff. Yeah.
Let's see. Zach
Lubarski.
Zach Lubarski, what are some things Wizards can or ought to do to support content creators? What are some things bigger MTG content creators like yourself can do to support smaller content creators?
Sure. I think over the course of the last, I mean, even 10 years or so since I started streaming, Wizards has done an immense job at just boosting up other, or just boosting up content creators in general. Like when I first started, there was very little of that. I think there was like the Community Cup, and maybe that was about it.
They also had like streamer showdowns for a while, and that was
that was much later.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Like I think what they continue to do is just enhance, you know, how they've been progressing already the last few years. They've made so many leaps and bounds. Could I get into specifics of what they could do? Probably, but From where I'm coming from, it looks like they're doing a great job as it is. As far as other streamers or bigger streamers, same thing. Every once in a while, I try to like signal boost or host, you know, somebody that has very few viewers. The only problem with that is I want to kind of vet them before I just randomly host, you know. So, you want to make sure that the person that you're hosting or whatever doesn't have complete, you know, their morals are completely offline with what you're doing. They're not like swearing or doing blah, blah, blah. They're yelling at their opponents and whatnot. But just, I guess, collaborating then is a good way for bigger content creators to help the smaller content creators. And I know it's harder. It's kind of daunting for people that might not have a big following to like reach out to other people. But I mean, that's all you have to do, really. Reach out. What's the worst that they say is no. But if you never attempt, then, you know, you're never going to know what might have been. So just make the effort. And I think that goes both ways for bigger streamers and for people that might not have a large following.
Yeah, I love that.
I would say that, first of all, I agree with everything Kenji said. But also, I do think Wizards has been making a lot of strides to kind of support even... Because I think for a while what they were supporting were the more prominent streamers, because those were the people who were getting invited to the Streamer Showdown. And the Streamer Showdown, for those who are listening who maybe are not familiar with that, they used to just get a queue of 8 people, basically. Mm-hmm. They would manually put you in a pod on Magic Online, and then you'd draft like Tempest Remastered against in the same pod, and then you'd play Swiss against everybody there, and then you'd have the winner. You know, you'd have the winner of the pod, which is exciting, but then there was this recurring joke, which was getting not last, which is just making sure you didn't go a 3.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so like the quest for not last was like a real thing while those were going on. And the Streamer Showdowns were really fun. I think they were a cool way to... so many times people from my stream would go into their chat and say hi or vice versa. But the problem with stuff like that is that it didn't really scale well, and there was no real... way to actually get accepted into a Streamer Showdown. So like if you ever got into one of them, it was sweet, but there was nowhere you could go or no one you could ask about them. So what they do now, Wizards, and if you are, you know, if you're a burgeoning or budding content creator, it's something you definitely want to apply to. They have a Streamlabs content creator program, I think it's what it's called. And what they do is they'll do challenges. So they'll say things like, build a deck around this card. And then you just have to send them a screenshot of the fact that you did that with your stream. And then you'll get community codes. So the community codes can have gems, can have cards, styles, like random things. But it's a way that you can get stuff that you can actually give on stream or on YouTube, etc. And it does have a process that you can apply and get accepted to. So they have made it a lot more accessible now. It didn't used to be.
And not that this was intentional, but I believe you made a video series of if people wanted to get into streaming. Is that right, Gabby?
Yeah, I think I have all the... I cornered the market of all the how to stream videos, because I had the how to stream Magic Online, and then Wizards contracted me to do the how to stream Magic Arena one.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Which is actually like an old video, but it's still like people continue to tag me.
Super relevant.
Yeah, so. I've had a bunch of people just be like, hey, this was really useful. I used this to set up my stream. Thank you for making it. And I was like, yeah, this is sweet. This is, I think I actually helped the Magic streaming world with this. This was good.
I think just in general, from being totally outside of the streaming world, just looking at, you can see a clear pivot from Wizards. How they've handled a lot of things, from just focusing on promoting like pro players or players in a pro player club. This is, you know, when there was a pro player club and Magic pros, to really going more broad with content creators in general. Streaming obviously is a huge focus for that, but that's one of the things you can see with Wizards and their support. All right. One last question. I like this question. And this will be our last question from Hexstar Dragon. Is your Asian heritage in your mind when you play or navigate the scene at all? Does it affect anything, or do you always feel like any other Magic player or streamer?
I can't say in the slightest has it ever... All right, maybe it's not on my mind. Maybe subliminally, I guess, but I can't ever say that that's ever come up. I don't think that's... Yeah, I don't think that's ever been a thing. Like, sure, people in chat come in and say, hey, oh, your name's Kenji. Are you Japanese or whatever? But I don't think it's ever cognizant on my mind. consistently when I'm streaming.
Not
what
you're playing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess the answer is no.
No.
How about being a female player, Gabby? Same question. Being a female player.
It's too long for us to go when we are an hour into the show. It definitely does come up though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that's a little bit different.
For me, the only time being Asian comes up is being mistaken for TBS and Paul Cheon, which still happens all the time. Hey, Paul. Hey, Ben. Like, no, try again. You know, and it really feels like a one-way street because no one walks up to Paul Cheon and say, hey, you're the guy on the left. Hey, you're Mashi. Never happens. So why?
You're like, why? This is so unfair. This is really stupid. Yeah.
This is all BS. I only get the bad side of it. All right. Well, thank you, Kenji. Thank you so much for joining us. This was a lot of fun, and it really was an actual super special guest. I mean, I love Luis. Obviously, he's super special, but he's kind of like the third.
Is he though?
You know, he's like the third host of the show, right? Yeah. He's on it so much, but it was awesome having you on the show and having you join us is great. Gabby mentioned this, but if you have other questions, or thoughts about the podcast, you can check us out at Magic FM Podcast on Twitter. She is Gabby Spartz, at Gabby Spartz on all social media platforms. He is at Newmont the Nummy.
You did it. You did it, Mosh. You did it. You got there.
At Newmont the Nummy on all social media standards. And is it twitch.tv/Newmont?
Newmont the Nummy, yeah.
Is it all the way? That's a really long one. Okay.
Always.
Twitch.tv/Newmont the Nummy. When do you normally stream, Kenji?
Every weekday from around 7:30 a.m. Pacific to give or take plus 8 hours from then.
Oof, that is a schedule. So check out Kenji. He's a lot of fun. He's been doing it for 9 years now. Wow, that's pretty impressive.
Pushing nine. Just over eight. Good. So
it's gonna get close to nine soon.
So that's like what, 2,000-3,000 months? I'm not, you know, just quick math there.
Just over 24 months.
Just over 24 months.
Kenji, okay, thank you. Sorry to interrupt you, Mashi, but I am curious. What is your longest sub?
I think we're pushing 80 something.
Damn. Yeah. That's a lot.
82 or something.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty time. Sweet.
That long is time. So
that's
cool.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
So check him out. We got to watch a lot of minutes, but eventually we can get him to chow down on those 40 nuggets. I believe in you, Kenji.
Y'all better start watching and keeping the tab open because you have to get those channel points.
Yes. Get those channel points. Get Kenji those McNuggets. All right. For Gabby Spartz, at Gabby Spartz, for Kenji Igashira, at Newmont the Nummy, I'm Mashi Scanlon, at Mashi Scanlon. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. Stay safe out there. And remember, be wonderful to yourselves. Be wonderful to each other. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.